And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
On today's Fantasy Baseball in 15, we'll discuss the flurry of two-homer games and the hitters who had them.
Like death and taxes, Dodgers get a Dodger.
I have not had three cold brews yet.
It works great in a fantasy league.
I'm just glad I am not at the dentist.
Fantasy Baseball in 15 on The Athletic.
Welcome to Fantasy Baseball in 15 for Tuesday, June 1st, presented by Topps. Check out Topps Project 70, celebrating 70 years of Topps baseball cards. I'm Al Melchior. I am here with Michael Beller. And a little bit of a different story today, Michael. Some offense, some home runs, some dingers, some taters, whatever you want to call them.
I like all of it. I like it all. Let's call them everything. Let's do it.
Players going yard. We'll talk about that a little bit later on, but we will get to, unfortunately, something that has been very familiar this season, some injury news. Jack Flaherty leaving his start early with a side injury that he sustained on the swing in the fifth inning, or actually the sixth inning, rather. So no further information there. But the Cardinals have been going with Johan Oviedo as a spot starter if they needed a replacement. My guess is that that's who they would turn to. Any interest there? And if so, is it time now to just make that preemptive move?
Not interest in terms where I'd be making a preemptive move. He's been decent. I've used him personally as a streamer earlier in the season, and I think he's back on that radar, assuming that he is in Jack Flaherty's spot in the rotation. But I'm not going out and grabbing him in an emergency as though he's going to fill that roster spot completely and just be on my roster until and unless Flaherty returns.
All right. Yeah, definitely not a one-for-one replacement. That is for sure. But nobody would be, most likely. Also, Adalberto Mondesi leaving early with a hamstring injury. Ramon Laureano expected to go on the injured list with a groin injury. Lorenzo Cain is now on the injured list with a hamstring injury. And better news, Pete Alonso activated on Monday, was on the IL with a sprained hand, and came back. It seems to be fine. Hit a home run against the Diamondbacks, so good news there for Pete Alonso. Also, Victor Robles back with the Nationals. He was activated. And really good news here, Michael. Ke'Bryan Hayes expected to be activated on Thursday, which is the earliest that he could be activated. He's been with the team, took some infield practice on Monday. So nothing here to say except hooray and get him in your lineup as soon as possible.
Yeah, people who haven't had him maybe don't remember. I mean, this is an injury from the first game of the season, the second game of the season against the Cubs, and he's been out since then. So very happy to see him getting back in the field here.
Yeah, we all are glad to see that. Those who've been stashing Tony Gonsolin, some good news for you and for him. He's slated to make one more rehab start with AAA Oklahoma City this Wednesday. That should be the last one, and then he could be activated next week. More Twins outfield news. It's just been one thing after another. Trevor Larnach day-to-day with a foot injury that he sustained on a hit-by-pitch that occurred on Sunday. Evan Longoria, he homered. He was part of this flurry of homers on Monday, but then subsequently left with soreness in his side. Kyle Lewis, also an early exit on Monday with knee discomfort. Luis Severino, haven't talked or necessarily thought a lot about him in quite a while, but he is getting ready to start a rehab assignment this Sunday. So if all goes well there, about this time in July, we could see Severino back in the Yankees rotation.
Also would be very fun to see. We all remember what he was pre-injury, how electric he could be, and would be great to see him back on a major league mound. So the baseball fan in me says fingers crossed that this all goes well. And if he's sitting out there just as a free agent in your league, I know it, you would have to be somewhat of a unique league, but if he's sitting out there to grab, good time to stash him on your IL if you can.
Yeah, now is the time. Absolutely. And just one closer note here from Monday, another save for JP FireEyes, and he now has the last three saves for the Rays. So I think this begs the question, Michael, is this enough for us to assume that he's going to, if not be the sole closer, the primary closer there?
I think it is, and I think he needs to be just universally rostered across the board. This is someone who can solve that woe that so many people have of finding saves. He's going to be the guy getting the bulk of the opportunities. Go get him if you can.
All right. Sounds like a good idea to me.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Let's take a look at Monday's standouts with all those home runs, all these two homer games. Gavin Lux with a pair of homers. He's up to 5 on the season. Those homers coming against the Cardinals. He's just been red hot over his last 15 games. A 283, 356, 566 slash line. So I think it was just, you know, he has heated up right around the time where people were starting to have doubts about whether or not those numbers he put up in the PCL were really something that were going to come close to translating. Were you on Team Lux all along? Did you have doubts? And if so, are those assuaged now?
I have been a member of Team Lux. Have him in my home league. Have him in Top Wars. I actually just traded him in my home league, but it's a little bit too convoluted to explain in a 15-minute show. So a little sad to see the two-homer game, but I do buy this. And, you know, he was dealing with some injury early in the season, so to see him get this hot, this fast, showing that power, this two-homer game here, I think that this is a good sign of him rounding the corner. So I would feel pretty good if I had him on my roster right now.
All right, and a Cubs offensive explosion against the Padres. Javier Baez with 2 home runs. He's now up to 13 on the season, and he was ranking really high in roto value among shortstops, even when he wasn't hitting for average. In the month of May, he batted .272, so off to a great start. At least heading into June, I should say, with some momentum. And Patrick Wisdom with a couple of home runs. He now has 3 on the season and looks like he should get some time filling in at third base. So Baez, you know, I think we know pretty much who Baez is. I'm not sure what new there might be to say there, but Patrick Wisdom, how do you like his fantasy appeal, you know, at least for the short term?
I think he's got it in NL-only leagues, Al. I mean, he's going to play. The Cubs are so banged up with David Bodie on the IL, Matt Duffy on the IL. And those are guys who are playing every day because of previous injuries. Eric Sogard just hasn't gotten the job done for the team as a utility infielder, and that's part of the reason why Patrick Wisdom is getting to play. Chris Bryant has not played the infield because of outfield injuries to Jack Peterson and Jason Hayward. He hasn't played the infield since late April, Al. He's been basically turned into, or hasn't played third base. He's been starting at first with Anthony Rizzo injured, but he hasn't started at third base since late April. He's been turned into an outfielder on this Cubs team because of all the injuries, and all that just goes back to say that if Patrick Wisdom keeps swinging this hot bat, and he was pretty hot at Iowa before they brought him up, he's going to get to play. So I think at least in NL-only leagues, the playing time's going to be there. He's swinging the bat right. I would go after him in those formats.
All right. And yeah, the Cubs box scores, they do look a little strange.
They look strange
for most of the season.
Yes.
but providing an opportunity there for Patrick Wisdom. And Cesar Hernandez with a couple of homers. He's up to 8. And, you know, initially this was just a note from Monday that I wasn't really going to spend much time on, but I thought, okay, Hernandez is up to 8. He's on a home run pace that he's never been on in his career. And sure enough, he really is backing that up with some extra power. He's got a barrel rate per batted ball of 9.6%, which is pretty good just by any standard. And it's well above Hernandez's norm. So this is somebody that's been out there on waivers week in, week out in a lot of my leagues. And I think it's time for me to make sure he's still out there and add him for a little bit of power.
Definitely worth looking at here, and a leadoff man. And we know how much we love going after leadoff men too, so that's just another feather in his cap. I'm with you, Al. I would be thinking about adding him this week.
Yeah, and the only thing is no steals this year on top of no steals last year. Very, very strange kind of turn of change of profile for Hernandez. So maybe just don't count on those steals. Let's go to the pitching. There were some great pitching performances in spite of all the home runs. Johnny Cueto, I know you were excited about him as a streaming possibility against the Angels. He certainly paid off for anybody who did start him. Seven innings, just one run allowed, five strikeouts, no walks for Cueto. So is this just a situation where you can trust Cueto when he's pitching at Oracle Park, or do you like him for, you know, broader appeal than just that?
Yeah, deeper leagues perhaps, but no, I think this just confirms his status as a pretty solid streamer, a guy who should always be on our stream radar, a guy who can take advantage of good matchups and good pitching situations, but not someone who you're going to want to just trot out there as an everyday pitcher, every roster kind of player.
All right, and I think the winner of the bizarre pitching line of the day goes to Tristan McKenzie. 10 strikeouts and 5 1/3, but gave up 5 runs on just 4 hits and 2 walks. So, you know, you might have seen those 5 runs and just thought, okay, well, he's striking out batters, you know, in between all the hits and walks. And especially with McKenzie, you figure there had to be a lot of walks. Just 2 in 5 1/3, just had a lot of damage that was done in the second inning. Almost all those base runners occurring pretty much consecutively in the second inning. Got out of that jam and then, you know, cruised right through into the sixth inning. So, and by the way, eight straight strikeouts for McKenzie in the start too. So very odd start, but encouraging in a way.
Going to run into issues like that with the White Sox too, right? I mean, they'll be able to go hit, walk, hit on almost anyone. And in the blink of an eye, you've given up those 5 runs. So I do feel a little bit encouraged that it was only 2 walks, which we can say only 4 for Tristan McKenzie, and 10 strikeouts against a really good lineup. I think that, you know, he is going to get a shot to be, you know, a consistent starter for this team again. And I kind of want to be there when he gets that shot.
All right. And Logan Gilbert, he was up on Monday, talked a little bit about him on some previous shows. And I had noted on a recent episode that really the underlying stats weren't so bad. And I think Sierra was right about around 4 going into this start, and did turn out a very good start against Oakland. 6 innings, 2 runs on 5 hits and a walk with 5 strikeouts. I mean, you'll take that every time. So is this confirmation that maybe Gilbert got a bit of a raw deal going early, or is this still more just kind of wait and see and maybe take the chance with a good matchup?
I would take the chance with a good matchup, but we also know what the ceiling is with Logan Gilbert. It's a little different with him. I would be totally comfortable buying in on him as a let's give him a shot and see what might go right type of pitcher.
All right, and then last pitching standout here to talk about, Jorge Lopez. You know, you brought him up on the Athletic Fantasy Baseball podcast as a possible two-start option for this week. I wasn't seeing it, but you were on to something. 1 run over 6 innings with 7 strikeouts for Lopez. And really, he's not been bad. He's not been great, but, you know, kind of reliable enough for a two-start week.
Yeah, definitely. And I really wasn't in on it too much either, Al. I just liked the fact that he was getting 2 starts and that neither of them felt like they were going to be too taxing. I believe it's Cleveland who he's getting over the weekend. So I think you and I will be talking about him as a streamer when we get to that point of the week.
Yes, we will. Absolutely. And thank you for the smooth segue into the Tuesday streamers. We've got 5 to consider here. Eric Lauer getting another spot start for the Brewers after a really good one against the Padres. This time, degree of difficulty a little bit lower. He gets the Tigers and Matt Boyd. Brady Singer goes against the Pirates and Will Crow. Andrew Heaney gets the Giants in San Francisco. They'll go with Alex Wood. And then a couple of starters who probably aren't going to go as deep, but worth considering. Ryan Weathers at the Cubs, and they'll be going with Kyle Hendricks. And Caleb Smith back in the Arizona rotation. He'll go up against the Mets and Marcus Stroman. So just to recap here, Lauer, Singer, Haney, Weathers, and Smith.
Yeah, I'm going to rank them Lauer, Singer, Heaney, Smith, Weathers. Smith, Weathers, kind of off the radar for me just because of the fact that neither of them is going to pitch too deep. And again, you have to reach past Lauer, past Singer to get to those guys. Love those matchups against Detroit and against Pittsburgh. So I'd really be pretty excited about streaming those two guys. Heaney, I'd feel okay about. Weathers and Smith, I probably would just take a pass on.
All right. Be interesting to watch them and see how deep they go into those starts, because there is some potential there. So let's wrap things up here with the weekly gambling spotlight. Michael, what do you got for us?
All right, let's throw two out there today. I'm going to go Marlins over the Blue Jays. They are plus 135 on BetMGM. Sandy Alcantara and Robbie Ray is the matchup there. Robbie Ray's been great this season. Sort of flown under the radar how good he has been, and Toronto deserves a lot of credit for helping him turn around. But, you know, if I get Sandy Alcantara against a comparable or maybe slightly worse pitcher in Robbie Ray and I'm getting plus money on it, I'm going to take that. I think that's just good process there, even if it doesn't end up working out. So give me Sandy Alcantara and the Marlins at plus 135 on BetMGM over the Blue Jays. And then the NL East showdown between the Rays and the Yankees going on right now. Of course, the Rays took game one in that series on Monday. And something that jumps out, Yankees offensive woes continuing in that after getting swept over the weekend by the Tigers. They put up one run in that game against the Rays, and now very tough assignment against Tyler Glasnow on Tuesday. BetMGM has the Rays installed as minus 120 favorites. I feel okay laying that. But also, I would take a look at the run line. They got to cover by 1.5 runs, as is the case on the run line for literally every MLB game. But you get them up to plus 135 there. Domingo Germán on the other side for the Yankees. This is one where I would be comfortable at least thinking about laying those 1.5 runs and trusting the Rays, because we have two teams that are playing very different styles of ball right now. Rays, the hottest team in baseball. Yankees can't seem to figure anything out. I like the Rays here.
All right. Sounds good. By the way, I like the visual of a Blue Jay flying under the radar. But yeah, you said it. So on that note here, we'll wrap up this episode of Fantasy Baseball 15 and just ask that if you do have a moment to rate and review this podcast, we would greatly appreciate it. For Michael Beller, I'm Al Melker, and we'll be right back here on Wednesday.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.